This episode of Job Board Geek is brought to you by Aspen Tech Labs.
Aspen Tech Labs works behind the scenes to power the back end of the jobs industry. Every day, our expert data team collects open job listings for more than 60,000 global companies. We clean, enhance, and deliver that data to our customers, 300-plus job boards, aggregators, and distributors. We continually monitor the sources and deliver daily updates. The result? Candidates see up-to-date postings, and your tech team can get back to work. Learn more or request a free trial at webspidermount.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Job Board Geek. It's the podcast about the business of connecting candidates and employers. I'm Jeff Dickey Chasins. I'm your host. I am the Job Board Doctor. And with me, I have the co-host, Stephen Rothberg of College Recruiter. Hey, Stephen, how's it going?
It is going great, Jeff. The weather is good and business is good. Mostly I'm good.
Mostly you're good. Well, that's probably as good as it gets, right?
It's kind of a bad standard because most people would say that I'm not very good, but for me, for my standards, I'm doing pretty well.
Ah, okay. Well, today we're going to have a special discussion. What did they used to call that on the afternoon ABC? Special moments or something
like the ABC afternoon special or something like this. Yeah. For those of us of a certain age,
right? I have acne. What do I do about myself? But anyway, so today we're going to be talking about backfill, and both Stephen and I have heard from numerous people in the job board industry that when they get started in the industry, this is a topic that confuses them. So just for the sake of a description, I'll start us off here by saying that backfill refers to job postings that a job board gets from another source and puts into their job board to increase the available job posting content for their candidates. Now, you can get that content backfill from a variety of different sources, but the key thing here is that the job board wants those extra jobs in their site because the jobs they get from their paying employers simply aren't enough to satisfy what, or at least they believe will not satisfy their candidate audience. And it makes sense because if you're even if you're a fairly narrowly focused niche board, let's say you're focused on cat veterinarians in North America. Well, just because it's a narrow focus doesn't mean that if I'm a cat veterinarian and I'm in Southern California and I come looking on your site for a job and all you have are 50 jobs and they all seem to be in the New York metro area, that's not a satisfying experience for me as a candidate. And so in that case, yes, you want to backfill with as many of those veterinarian jobs as you can. I'll get into the three types of backfill in terms of the way I look at it. And then Stephen will jump in and tell me where I'm wrong. So,
you're so glass half empty.
I know. I always have a positive outlook on things. When I talk to clients and I say, you need to look at backfill to get your job board started, I'll say there's basically three ways that you can do this. So the first way is that you can go to a job aggregator, someone like an Edzuna or a Juju or a Jobs to Careers, and you can take their job feed. And they have those job feeds, and they're typically modeled in large part on the original Indeed feed, because Indeed used to provide job feeds to just about everyone. They don't do that so much anymore, but it's an XML feed, and most job board software platforms will accept an XML feed of job postings. It allows you to exert some control over the types of jobs that come in. So you can say, I only want to look at technical jobs, or I only want to look at jobs in Montana or something like that, and they'll feed the jobs in. So that's one way to do it. Another way to do that is to use scraping. So you can use a tool like a web spider mount or a Propellum. Mm-hmm. I think Archili has a package that does the same thing. And you essentially tell the scraper, okay, I want to get all the jobs from the career site of company A, company C, and company X. And I want you to go there every night or maybe once a week. And I want you to grab all the jobs that on the site, or I want you to grab all the jobs with these 10 job titles. You pay the company to set it up, and then you pay the company a monthly fee per site that they're scraping based on usage. And this has the advantage that you can very carefully set what's showing up on your job site. And that's particularly important. Like if you're the person that's running this cat veterinarian site, you really do want to have a lot of control over the jobs. And probably an aggregator feed is not going to give you that level of control. And then the third and final way, and which is the way that most people that come to me and say, oh, I'm starting a job board and I'm gonna do this. This is the way they think they're going to get jobs, is that they go to employers directly. And they say, you can post all the jobs from your site on my site for free for 6 months. And they're always surprised when I say, this is probably going to be the least successful way of dealing with this, because most employers couldn't care less because you're not giving them any value. You know, sometimes they take pity on you, but in general, that's not a successful way. So what do you think, Stephen? Did I cover it or am I leaving anything out?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed kind of the top three. I would add a fourth to that. And that would be just for people who have more time than money, they can do this manually.
Right.
And I had a conversation with somebody just yesterday that actually I referred to you as a potential client. They're looking to set up a micro niche site. And without getting into specifics, it's basically around like a passion for a sport that they play. So let's just say it's basketball. They want to have a job board that would be targeted to recreational basketball players. So the jobs would be people who maintain the courts, you know, anything related to recreational basketball that would be a maybe volunteer, certainly paid kinds of positions. Not the players getting paid, but the people who are running the gyms, maintaining the courts, that type of thing. Their idea, I believe, is just to kind of go and run a bunch of Google searches and find those kinds of jobs and copy, paste, submit to build up their database. At the end of the day, I think you absolutely nailed it, though. It's about creating a positive candidate experience.
Right.
If a job seeker comes to your site and only finds three jobs of interest or none, they're never going to come back and they're going to tell their friends never to go to your site. On the other hand, if they come and they find 48 jobs of interest, they are going to come back. They probably will sign up for your job alerts or whatever you might do. It's kind of a chicken and egg thing, I think, Jeff, isn't it? It's the problem is you have a job board. If you have no jobs, you're not going to have candidates. On the other hand, if you have no candidates, you're not going to have jobs. So do you get candidates first, which you can do by buying traffic, but you buy traffic and send people to a job board with no jobs, they're never going to come back. So I do think the right strategy is first to get jobs, then to get candidates. Right. It's really the question of like, where do those jobs come from, right?
Right. And I think it's a challenge. I mean, that's the first challenge for people that have not been in the industry is they think, well, the only way I can get jobs is to get employers to pay me and then that they'll post their jobs. And of course, that makes no sense because there's no product there. There's no there because there are no candidates until the jobs show up. So in some ways, it's a very easy conversation for me to have with clients. I say, yes, you need to have jobs on your site. It needs to be at a certain level in general. In my experience, if you're a niche site, you probably need to have at least 500 to 1,000 jobs on your site. Depending on what the niche is, it may need to be a lot more than that. But basically, you have to have enough jobs where, like you said, when the candidate comes to the site, they have a good experience in the sense that they're presented with some options. Now, you can get around some of this if you're working in, if you're setting up a hub or if you're running a hub and you're adding a job board to it. Because if you have a hub, and when I say hub, I mean a site that's sort of focused on community, on a particular professional or interest niche. A good example of that would be Stack Overflow. You've got people coming to that site already to interact, to answer questions, to ask questions, to get information. You can have fewer jobs on the site if you want to, because that's not the primary reason they're coming to the site. But the reality is, if you don't have enough jobs, even on that kind of a site, candidates will never use the job board. They'll just say, I went over there. There were six jobs. They're all from the same company. Screw it. I'm not going there. So you have to always, you know, I always tell my clients, you know, put on your candidate hat. Think like a candidate. Think about what would make you happy or unhappy. If you can't make yourself happy with what you're presenting, then you need to work on what you're doing and add something to it. Now, something you said, though, made me think there has been a slight development that I've seen in terms of people setting up job boards with content. And this is almost entirely in the tech segment. I've noticed over the last probably 5-6 years, there's been a lot of programmers that set up these job boards for certain very narrow technical niches, you know, a particular language or a particular development platform or whatnot. And essentially what they do is they write up a script that just goes out across the entire internet and grabs jobs from wherever they may be and pulls them in so they look like they're on that job board. But then, of course, the minute you touch the job, then you go to the original source. So it's essentially kind of like scraping, except it's, you know, I would say one step below scraping in terms of an experience. But it's a good way of, you know, if you're in a really narrow niche, it's a good way of concentrating all the jobs in one place for convenience.
Yeah, it kind of sounds to me like it is self-scraping.
Yeah.
Rather than paying a service to do that for you, they're doing it for themselves. Years ago, it's probably going back a decade now, one of our developers proposed that we do the scraping that we do, that instead of outsourcing that, and we use Aspen Tech Labs for that and their product Web Spider Mount, and we have for forever. They've been a great partner, but he kind of proposed that we do that scraping ourselves, kind of pretty much as you're describing it. Like, let's go out and grab all the internships. Let's go out and grab all the entry-level jobs, you know, whatever it might be. When we looked at the cost of it, again, time, more, do we have more time or do we have more money? You know, and when you're paying a developer a bunch of money, it just, there is a cost there. There is the cost of labor. If it's just you and you've got a WordPress site or something like that, and you've got the time to do it and you've got the technical expertise, awesome. You know, give it a shot. See if it works. What we've done at College Recruiter is when we enter new markets, and as you might know, like in the spring of 2021, we started to sell postings globally, rather than just in the US, employers, et cetera, now can post jobs to us anywhere in the world. Well, we're not going to get employers in the UK posting jobs to us if we don't have any jobs in the UK. They're going to come to our site. They're going to see that it's like a big vacant space, kind of like that between my ears. And they're going to say, no way do we, you know, if nobody else is doing it, we aren't either. So there's comfort in being part of a crowd, a lot of these employers will feel. So our strategy, we kind of borrowed or ripped off from what Indeed did in the early days. You get backfill, we get feeds from other job boards, aggregators, et cetera, to build up that critical mass and working with partners, like you mentioned, some, the Adzunas of the world, the talent.coms, et cetera, to give us that critical mass that will help us build up the candidate numbers. And then eventually, maybe 6 months from now, 2 years from now, the candidate traffic will come. And then the employer traffic will also come, the postings from the employers. But when you're just starting out and you've got a clean slate, it's pretty hard to get a feed from another job board where they're going to pay you to take their feed, right? And that's another issue. If you've got a Stack Overflow kind of site where you've got great content, great traffic, and you're adding a job board, you can probably go to a ZipRecruiter, an Adzuna, Talru, et cetera, and say, hey, give me a feed of jobs and pay me per click. Mm-hmm. And they'd probably be delighted to do that. And they should, because your traffic quality is probably going to be really high. But if you've never been in the job board industry and you're just creating a site from scratch, there's a really good chance that you're going to have to pay for that content. Again, whether it's in your time or whether it's in your money. I don't know, Jeff, I don't see that as being any different than if you open a restaurant and you know that on day one, you're not going to have any paying customers unless you invest in putting in tables and putting in the kitchen and buying a bunch of food that maybe or maybe not you'll be able to sell and buying some advertising. You have to invest in driving that customer traffic through your door before you've earned dollar one. And I don't think the job board industry is any different, do you?
No. I mean, I think I encounter people, you know, I take a lot of calls from people that are starting job boards, and a percentage of them become clients, but a larger percent don't. But I think they engage, percentage of them engage in what I call magical thinking. They just think, wow, you know, I saw where I could get this job board software for $200. I'm going to set it up. And, you know, I know a lot about this and I know a lot about that. So it's going to be focused on, you know, bike mechanics in Montana. And so tell me how to make the easy money. And I just sort of laugh and I say, well, you know, it's not actually the way it works. And then I have the conversation, you know, very similar to what you just said. I say, if you had a shoe store, would you expect it to work that way? If you had literally any business, would you expect it to work that way? It doesn't, you know, it just doesn't happen that way. You have to put the time in. And my rule of thumb for most niche boards is that you probably are not going to go cash positive for 12 to 18 months from start. You know, if you're doing everything right and you're willing to invest a certain minimum amount of money in the marketing and a certain minimum amount of time, you can probably go positive within 12 to 18 months. But most people have like more like a 2 month horizon. You know, unfortunately, I'm the bringer of bad news a lot of times. I say, well, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's like, so I mean, your advice, it sounds like, is don't quit your day job.
Right.
And B, wouldn't you rather have the bad news from me today before you've spent, you know, tens or maybe even hundreds of thousands of dollars? Or, you know, would you rather get that bad news after you've spent the tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars? So, you know, we launched in 96. And what we did for content for initially is we had an employment magazine with like display ads. And we literally cut the employment ads out of that magazine, scanned them, and uploaded that to our site. And then we had hundreds of ads in basically four different regions of the country. And we had a guy call us up, I think a couple of weeks after we went live in Texas, financial services. It's like, hey, I saw your job board. How do I run an ad on your site? And the answer was like, I have no idea. Like, this is how we're doing it. And he's like, well, where do these ads come from? To explain to him the magazine. It's like, well, how much do people pay to run an ad in your magazine? It's like $485 for 3 months. And he said, okay, can I give you a credit card? And so, you know, kind of a business was born. But it's not like we had 12 of those calls a day, day after day after day after day. I mean, we had that call and then it was months before we sold another posting online. And it was clearly a very, very different era. But, you know, when I'm talking to people about setting up a job board, particularly if they don't already have a site with has community and a lot of built-in traffic to it. But if it's starting from scratch, like this guy who's thinking about, you know, creating a, let's call it a basketball site. I love it. I love the passion. I love the knowledge of the industry. I love the vision. But those backfill feeds, pick your partner carefully. It would be really, really fantastic to get a, you know, whether it's a ZipRecruiter, whether it's a Talru, whether it's a Talent, whether it's an AdZuna, whoever, and to get them to provide you with a feed that's already curated, right? So if you only want jobs about basketball, most of them are going to say, sorry, you're out of luck. You know, you need to do that on your own. But you might find one that will say, oh, no problem. We've got 4 million jobs. 17,000 of them have something about basketball in them. We can send you just those. If I was looking to start that site up, that would be amazing.
I think you're absolutely right. And I think I was thinking about telling the story. My experience of coming into the job board industry was pretty dramatically different than yours. Dice was already making $6-7 million a year. And my problem was more, how do I get the saddle on this horse? Because it was making all that money and they didn't even really understand how they were making all that money. But that's a story for another time. I think we've brought up some interesting things. I think it's about time for me to shut this down, though. But I think if you have more questions, listeners, if you have more questions about backfill, you can certainly get a hold of Stephen Rothberg. And Stephen, how would they do that if they had a question?
Stephen@collegerecruiter.com. And, you know, another way, I mean, clearly you're going to know a heck of a lot more about this than I would, but also go to some of the job board conferences. TA Tech runs a number of them and you'll be able to talk to those backfill partners, the aggregators face to face. And most of the people are real straight shooters. They're going to tell you all the goods and the bads. And then Louise Tryance and Louise Grant in the UK are having a job board conference in October 2022. And that would be another one to go to if you're in, especially if you're in Europe.
Yeah, I think that I think those are both good advice. I'm sorry to say that the conference that I used to also enjoy that was in the US and the UK, JobGate, is not around anymore. But I'm looking forward to seeing what the two Louises put together. Anyway. Thanks, Stephen. And that's it for today's episode of Job Board Geek. Be sure to subscribe to us via Apple or Stitcher or Google, anything that floats your boat. Remember that if you like us, thumbs up for me, thumbs down for Stephen. This is Jeff Dickey Chasins, the Job Board Doctor, and you've been listening to the only podcast that focuses on the business of connecting candidates and employers. That's all for today. We'll see you again next time.